like to welcome you all here today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. have a couple, well, I guess not really changes, but in your special music it says the Shear family, but it was also the Shears, Hancock, and Mefford family. So we'd like to thank all them for their time and effort they put through. They did a beautiful job in our intro. I'm sure their special music is going to be just as wonderful. I told the priesthood when we were in the back room to listen to the Lord's prompting this day. If something were to come up to need changed or whatever, just let's follow the Lord's Spirit. And somebody had approached me before the service and wanted to say a special prayer for one of our members that's going to have some knee surgery tomorrow. So after my remarks today, Brother Richard Adams is going to give a special prayer for our sister Betty. And then we'll just follow the order of service after that. For a opening hymn, I'd like to read out of the Psalms 46th chapter, the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It's a simple scripture, but it's one I wanted to take to heart today. Let's be still for the next hour. Let's not worry about the world and the things that we have to do tomorrow and the things we got to do this afternoon. But let's just be still and know that He is God. And that He has a message for us this day that He wants us to hear. Nathan talked to me yesterday. They're having some printer problems. And he needed to email me his notes for the day so I could print them off for him. And I said, sure, no big deal. Well, by the time we got home last night after the auction, it was pretty late, and I kind of forgot about it. And well, Nathan called me this morning to remind me, and as I sat down and was getting ready to get the email, the thought came to me is, what if God had sent me an email? What if I had a message from God waiting on my computer? And then I thought, I do. He's worked with Nathan this week leading up to this. And He's got a message for us to hear today. And so we need to be still and listen to the message that God has placed upon Nathan's heart and his mind and the preparation that he's done to bring for us. And that's what I want us to do today. Brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we pause a moment in this service, as Josiah has already prayed, I add my voice to his prayer. But Father, I ask you that you'd be with Betty and Fred. And as Betty goes through this walk and other pain that will afflict her body, and all these doctors that will come forth and nurses and therapists, and that you might be with each and every one of them and send your angels to be with Betty and minister to her at all times and let her have that peace with that pain to where she's ready to go forth and have the other knee done. And as she's spent hours upon hours in her flower beds and they bloom and smile like she smiles. May you attend her flower beds for all the love that she's put into them. Make them smile back at her as she comes in the driveway. And as she goes back and forth to doctor visits, that you might shelter her from any colds or any flu that she might contact, that she can just concentrate on getting better, to continue to go on and do your work as she spends very many hours praying for each and every one of us in this congregation. Her love shares. We just share our love and ask for you to share her love, your love with her. Father, we know there's a lot of people sick and a lot of people hurting in this day. It's amazing the time and effort you spend with each and every one of us. But we just ask a special blessing on Betty this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, who art in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to join together and allow us to listen to Nathan this morning and his sermon that he's going to bring to us. Please be with him this hour, that his words may go through us and we may be able to apply his word to our everyday life. Please allow us to follow your commandment. I pray this most precious holy name. Amen. Start off today by reading from section 1 in section 108. Now, when the Doctrine and Covenants was written, section 1 was not the first section written in the Doctrine and Covenant, or given to the church. Section 1 was actually written as an introduction to the Doctrine and Covenants, and section 8 was written as the kind of synopsis of the Doctrine and Covenants to be placed in the end of the Doctrine and Covenants. So I will be reading from section 1 and section 108. And it says, "And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from my ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness. But every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old, and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. Wherefore, I the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith Jr., and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world, and all this, that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets. The weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world, and before kings and rulers. Go ye out from Babylon. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Call your solemn assemblies, and speak one often one to another. And let every man call upon the name of the Lord. Yea, verily I say unto you again, the time has come when the voice of the Lord is unto you. Go ye out of Babylon, gather ye out from among the nations, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Send forth the elders of my church unto the nations which are far off, unto the islands of the sea, send forth unto foreign lands. Call upon all nations, firstly upon the Gentiles, and then upon the Jews. And behold, and lo, this shall be their cry, and the voice of the Lord unto all people. Go ye forth unto the land of Zion, that the borders of my people may be enlarged, that her stakes may be strengthened, and that Zion may go forth unto the regions round about. Yea, let the cry go forth among all people. Awake and arise, and go forth to meet the bridegroom. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Prepare yourselves for the great day of the Lord. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour. Let them therefore who are among the Gentiles flee unto Zion."
Sing the news. glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his
love. Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the purpose of the restoration of the church. And we know that in 1830, the gospel was restored and it was brought back to the earth. But why was it brought about? What was the purpose of it? And I want us to think about that throughout this hour. You know, why did God restore the gospel? And what did he restore to the earth? You know, in 1830, we know that there were many churches that were already established. So why did he have to establish another one? Back in 2001, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw a coming storm. And the storm was destroying everything in its path. And I particularly noticed that the storm was destroying churches. And these churches thought that, you know, because they were churches, they would be saved. But yet the storm was coming through and it was destroying everything in its path. And I remember that I had to build a structure that would withstand this storm. Now, the structure that I was building was not a structure that, you know, I was building to, you know, glorify anything in particular, but just for protection. And I knew because it was being built for other people and for protecting other people, that it would withstand. Now, you know, this storm was coming through and it was destroying things, and it was destroying these big, you know, brick buildings and everything. But this structure that we were building wasn't a beautiful structure. You know, it wasn't anything grandiose or anything like that. But it was a structure that would withstand because of the purpose for what it was built. And I remember talking to people and trying to get people to help build this structure. I remember even talking to people within the church, and some people wouldn't do it because they said that they were busy with other things. And a lot of the things that they were busy with weren't necessarily bad things, but it wasn't for the building up and the protection of other people. And then I woke up. And it made me think about, you know, the condition of the church. It made me think about the condition of the world that we live in. You know, many times we see things built up, you know, whether it be churches or organizations or those types of things that are built up for the edification of individuals or for the edification of, you know, some other purpose. But we need to make sure that the lives that we're living and that the things that we're doing are for the building up of the kingdom of God and for the spreading of his gospel. Now, when we think about the principles of the gospel, you know, the six principles of the gospel, what is the first one? You know, many times when we think of those, we think the first one is faith, but it's not. Let's go ahead and read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, not leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God." So the first principle of the doctrine of Christ is repentance from dead works. And I want us to think about that. What are dead works? What are dead works? You know, many times the world, I think, well, first off, each one of us, we have a void within us that has to be filled with God. And many times the world tries to fill that with other things. They try to fill it with, you know, drugs or alcohol or sex or, you know,
video games or movies or whatever else, all these other things that the world has to offer. And it doesn't ever fill that void. Because that void can only be filled by one thing. That void can only be filled by God. And repentance from dead works isn't just something that we do one time. And then we don't have to do it again. Now, repentance from dead works is something that I know in my life I have to repent from all the time. Because, you know, all too often, you know, we are the natural man. And we do vary off. And we do get involved in dead works. Works that don't matter. Works that aren't for the building up of the kingdom of God. So we need to do another course correction and go back and remember, okay, what is it that I'm doing? Our purpose is not to build up ourselves, but to tell the world and to warn the world that there is something more out there. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God to the entire world and to draw out of Babylon. And to draw away from those dead works. And to seek after works that will bring life. You know, just like that storm that was coming. It was destroying those dead works. But it was only those works that were for the building of the kingdom that weren't destroyed. We can read that in the scriptures when it talks about, you know, the judgment. And how all the straw and the wood will all be burnt up. And it's just the gold that will be purified. The gold and the silver and those types of things that will be purified. Now, I want each one of us to think. If we had the cure for cancer, if we knew what the cure for cancer was, and it was something so easy that when we told people what it was, they'd laugh at us because it was so easy. What would we do with that cure? Would we go out there and we tell people that had cancer about it? Would we go out there and tell people anyway? Because there might be a few that would answer and listen to what we had to say. Even though it was so easy that some people might laugh at us. Well, the gospel of the kingdom is the cure for cancer for the world. You know, we look around us and we see the heartache and we see the hurting. And we see the addictions. And we see the hatred and the wars. And we see all these bad things around us. The things that the world has to offer. These dead works. We have the cure for that. And yes, it may seem so simple that some people may laugh. But is it worth saving those that will listen? And I want us to think about that. When we go out into our jobs and our schools and into the world this next week, I want us to think about the gospel as the cure for cancer, the cure for the ailments of everybody around us. They need the gospel. There are so many people out there that are hurting. There are so many people out there that want hope. You know, we can see that, you know, this year is an election year, and we can see that even 4 years ago. People believed and wanted to believe in hope so much that just because, you know, somebody said, you know, I'm here for hope and change, they were willing to, you know, even though they didn't know a whole lot, they were willing to vote for that because that's what they wanted. That's what this world wants, is that hope. That's what this world wants, is a change in our lives. The world doesn't necessarily have the answer. They don't know what it is. But they know that they need something. And we have that answer. And it's our responsibility to go out there and to warn people. And to tell them the cure to their diseases. And so I want us to think about that. And I want us to think about our own lives. You know, how many of us have dead works in our own lives that we need to repent of, that we need to turn around and resolve in our own lives as well? I did a few calculations to try to figure out how many hours somebody has in their life. And if somebody lives to the age of 90, they'll have approximately 789,000 hours in their lives. Now, the thing is, you know, just like I read in the first, in my intro, in my scripture reading, it says that, you know, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. It says, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour. Let them therefore who are among the Gentiles flee from Zion. You know, we don't know how many hours that we have in our lives. But if we live to the age of 90, you know, we have 789,000 hours in our lives. Now, this year, I am going to pass the 290,000 hour mark. And so I'll have lived 290,000 hours in my life. And, you know, looking back on my life, that doesn't necessarily seem like a whole lot of time. And, but we're only here for a limited amount of time. We're only here for so many hours. And I want us to think about that. And think about what we're doing with those hours that we do have. You know, are we squandering them away? Are we doing a lot of dead works? Or are we actually using those hours that we have for purposes for the building up of the kingdom and for edifying one another? I know in my life, I do squander a lot of hours. I've squandered a lot of those 290,000. But, you know, what we've done in the past, we can't do anything about that. Our responsibility is to decide what we're going to do from here on. What are we going to do with those hours that we have left? And we don't know how many hours that we actually have left. And so let's make each one count. Let's make each one matter for the building of the kingdom. I know that each one of us here has a purpose. And each one of us here was placed in this time. And was placed in this place for a reason. And so I don't care, you know, who you are, you know, what status you have in the world. You do have a purpose. And there's a reason for you being here. What I would ask and beg each one of you to do is to use those hours that you have for the building of the kingdom. Something else that was said in the that I really like, that was said in the scripture reading, is in section 1:4b and C. It says, "And all this, that it might be fulfilled which was written by the prophets, the weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones." You know, I know that in my life I'm weak. And I know that many of you probably think you're weak. You know, you don't think, you know, you think about yourself and you're like, man, I don't know the scriptures forwards and backwards. I don't have the responses to every single question. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to share. I don't know. You know, we all think that we're weak. But that's what's exciting, because it says the weak things will break down the strong. Those times that we're weak, those times that we don't have the answers, those times that we don't have the strength or we don't have the courage, those are the times that God blesses us. Those are the times we receive the greatest blessings, because He's able to fill in the gaps. It's our responsibility to go out there and to be the instruments. It's our responsibility to have the desire to share. It's our responsibility to be that example. And in those times that we're lacking are the times that God fills in. And that's what makes it exciting. Because even though we're weak, we have the promise of strength. We have the promise of tearing down the strong. And when we look in the world and we look at what the vices that it has to offer, you know, those are strong vices on a lot of people. Those are strong addictions that people have. But the gospel of the kingdom, even though it seems weak, and even though we might seem weak, it can break those. And people can be freed from bondage. And the diseases that this world has to offer can be overcome because we have the cure. And so I know that each one of us has those times that we feel weak. We feel inferior. We feel like we don't have anything to offer. But that could be farther from the truth. Because in those times of weakness, we can be made strong. And so I want each one of us to think about that. And to think about that when we're thinking about the hours that we're using. We were placed here for a purpose. We were placed in this time. We were placed in this place. And we were put people in our past that we can minister to. And even though we might feel weak, it's our responsibility to do something with that. And so it's our responsibility to determine and to figure out, why are we here? Why am I in this place? Why am I put in these situations that I'm put in? You know, even though many times it feels like we're tried, and many times it feels like we're put in situations that we cannot make it through, or we're put in situations that hurt so bad, but there's a reason for it. And it's our responsibility to find that and to turn those bad things into great things and to see God's hand working in those trials. Now, a lot of times when we think of, you know, the end times, or we think of the last days, we think of, you know, these terrible times that all these tribulations are going to happen. But I want us to think about it a little bit different. You know, what would you guys say if I told you that you had won an all-expense paid trip to Disney World? But the catch is, you had to drive there. Now, it's 21 hours to drive to Orlando from here. So I know with our family, with three kids in the car, that might be a challenging trip, but it would definitely be worth it. And so I want us to think about that. You know, the end times and the last days aren't something that we need to be scared of. They're not something that we need to think of, you know, with fear, or we need to think of as something that's going to be terrible. Because it's really something exciting. You know, just like thinking about that trip to Disney World, that would be exciting. Even though we have to go through that 21-hour drive there. It might just be a little bit of pain or frustration. But hey, when we get to the other side, it's going to be a lot of fun. And so when we think about the last times, let's think about them that way. That when we see things happen in the world, when we see the times being fulfilled in the scriptures, think about it as something exciting. Kind of like winning that all-expense-paid trip to Disney World. Because there's going to be exciting things that happen. A couple of weeks ago, The 70 in the area got together, and we were sharing with each other testimonies of things going on in our lives and things going on in the world. And I'll tell you, it's our testimony that the time is short. Even like that scripture reading that I read. The time when Christ comes, it won't be long. And it's our responsibility to prepare for that. It's our responsibility to not only prepare ourselves, but to help prepare the people around us. And to establish His kingdom. And to establish Zion here on earth. I know too many times in our lives we focus on, you know, what's going on in our lives. We focus on our own agendas. We focus on all these other things that don't necessarily matter. We need to remember that it's our responsibility to be about building up the kingdom of God. And I know there's all kinds of things going on. I know there's all kinds of things going on in our lives and in our jobs and in the church and all these things. But the thing that really matters is making sure that we're building up the kingdom of God. I know too many times, even in my own life, you know, I have these ideas and, you know, I think I'm right. And so because somebody has a different idea than I do, I might build up walls with them. Or I might say, you know, your idea is a little bit different. I don't know what I can do with that. But that's not what our responsibility is to be doing. The church was not established here on earth to be a judge and to, you know, say we're right and you're wrong, therefore you're cast out. Our responsibility as a church is to build up the kingdom of God. And even though we may not agree 100% with every single person that we come in contact with, our responsibility is to find those common grounds and to build on that. And as we build on that and as we build those relationships with each other, we can share with each other. And what I've found out many times is that even though I may have differences with somebody, they have a reason for why they believe the way they do. And I might be able to see something different. I might be able to see that, you know what, after looking at it from their point of view, I was the one that was wrong. And so let's not be quick to judge. Let's not be quick to try to prove that we're right and that somebody else is wrong. But our responsibility is to focus on building up the kingdom of God. And so I want us to think about that as we go about our days, as we go about our work or our school or whatever it is that we're doing, that our responsibility is to build up the kingdom of God. So whatever action we're doing, is that helping to build up or edify the kingdom of God and to edify others? Or is that to prove that you're right? Or to is that a dead work? Or is that something else? Because we need to make sure that what we're doing is according to His will. We need, our responsibility is to make sure that we're right. And so, because if we're right with God, we're not going to be out there trying to tear down other people. We're going to be out there trying to lift them up as well. And trying to create ways that they can understand the gospel. And that's why I believe the gospel was truly restored to the earth. To be a cure for the things of this world. To be a cure for the addictions and to be a cure for the heartache and the trials. The church was established here on earth to be a safe haven for those that are hurting. The church was established here on earth to be a loving group of people. A group of people that's accepting. A group of people that's willing to live the gospel. That's why it was established here on earth. And because of that, the authority and the ordinances and everything else was established. That we could be blessed. That we could bless other people. That everyone would have an opportunity to know and to receive. So this next week, I really want us to think about that. Think about the life that we're living. Think about the dead works that we need to repent of. Think about the opportunities that we have in our lives to share the gospel. The opportunities that we have to be the cure. And think about who it is that we can share with. Who it is that we can help. Who it is that we can give hope to. That we can achieve this goal of the kingdom of God and achieve this goal of Zion together. That we can be witnesses to the world.
Thank you, Nathan. It's my prayer that this week and in coming weeks that we will look at our lives and evaluate those dead works that we can get rid of. I was sitting here listening to Nathan, you know, thought came to me that we're God's army. We're his soldiers. And if we don't go out and do the things that he's called us to do, they're not going to get done. So not only do we need to focus on repenting of our dead works, we need to pray that God will bring to us those works that we can get excited about. We're a body. We all have different callings. We all have different things we need to be working on. I told my wife, me and her have become very passionate about orphans and adoption, and I told her that I didn't know if I'd ever be able to stand up here again and not say something about it, orphans or adoptions, and I wasn't going to say anything, but it goes along with what I want to say now. So, God has placed that upon our heart, and we've become passionate about it, almost consumed by it. And there's something that God has for you that he wants you to work on that you can become passionate about. And I've asked my wife, who's sometimes wiser than me, why isn't everybody excited about orphans and adoption? Why isn't everybody on fire? Why don't everybody want to get involved? And she's reminded me, because we are a body, that God has other things for us to do. We all can't work on the same things. But if we'll pray and we'll ask God for guidance, he'll give to us that work that he wants us to do. I heard something on the radio the other day that, you know, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. And I don't love my job. I work every day. I work to drive to my job because I don't like my job. And I hope Alan takes this the right way, but he loves farming, so he's never worked a day in his life. He's not even looking at me now. He'll talk to me later. He might disagree. He works pretty hard, but it's something he enjoys doing. And if we can find that thing that God wants us to do that we can enjoy doing, that we can be excited about, then we don't have to repent of our dead works because we won't have any. Let us close by singing hymn 23. Press the name.
Oh.
joy of
heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this time you've allowed each of us to gather in this place of worship. Thank you for sending your Spirit to dwell with us. Thank you for the spoken word that Brother Nathan has delivered. And Lord, we just ask that you will give us the strength to follow through with those guidings that you place in our hearts, and that you will give us the strength to recognize each other's needs and to be willing to take those needs upon ourselves so everyone's needs will be lessened. We just thank you, Lord, for each that are gathered here, for the love that we feel when we enter this place. We ask that you will go with us and be with us until we can meet again. And I praise in Christ's name, amen.